Welcome to Blah Quadrat number 10. As our special interview today is mostly in English, we thought we present you this special international edition containing only the interview with the Scribblenauts creators, Fifth Cell. Enjoy! Hi guys, how about a short introduction?
Alright, I'm Jeremiah Salaska, the creative director and co-founder of Fifth Cell.
And I'm Marius Falbusch, technical director at Fifth Cell, also one of the owners.
You want to say German?
Yeah, das Ganze auf Deutsch nochmal. Marius Falbusch, technischer Direktor bei Fifth Cell und einer der Mitinhaber auch.
Thank you. I'm very glad to talk to you tonight, guys. As your last very successful idea, I must say, is already out, I bet you are already working on a new one. You might not be able to tell me much, but at least a hint maybe for us?
Well, we are going to console, so that's basically, I've been telling other people we're doing console games right now.
All right.
So yeah, we're leaving DS, not for good, not forever, but just, you know, for a little while. We always set up Visel to be a console company from the beginning, even though we did mobile and then we did DS now, but we always had it in mind to do console, so we're kind of getting there now. We're starting that's just beginning.
Console, right. Are we talking Nintendo here?
We'll see.
Okay, let's leave it at that. Maya, I was wondering, what turned you into a game designer? Was it a special event like angels singing and a ray of light? Or were you maybe born a game designer?
So I dropped out of high school. And after that, like, I hung out with my friends for a while. And then I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And then I found some amateur game development thing. Because I always played games as a kid. Not, like, really hardcore. But, you know, I like games as a kid and stuff. Yeah. And my friends were... or some people were doing an amateur development on a website, and I was like, wait, you can make video games? Like, I don't know. I never thought how you make video games. I thought maybe it's like a factory or, I don't know, like cars, like production line. I don't know. You know, I had no idea. And then so then I basically worked on amateur development for a while. I met up with Joe Tringali, who's the general manager of Fifth Cell, and we started a company called Epix Interactive. And we were working on an original Xbox online RPG called Fate. You can check mm-hmm. that out sometime. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out. And then so from there, we basically made the company died, and then we spent a few years away. We always talked to each other and stuff like that. And the company was virtual. And then we basically said we wanted to do it again, so we started up Fifth Cell. And that was in 2003. So I don't know. People always ask me, like, what did you want to be when you were a kid? And, like, I didn't have anything. I was just like, I'd just be me.
That's perfect. And then, I think, if you have no alternatives, you know.
Yeah. But I love creating. I love creation. So, you know, like, I studied screenwriting for a few years. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm really into, I just love, I actually like creating video games and just creating stories and stuff more than actually like playing them, because it's just so much fun to come up with a new idea and think about it. And, you know, how would you create it? And just that's a lot of fun for me.
I can relate. Are there any specific games of old, some classic games which may have shaped you, some old classics you still remember from time to time now?
Oh yeah, sure. Metal Gear Solid, the original one on PlayStation 1, really influenced me a lot, because it's such a cinematic game, and they just did so much amazing stuff, and it had a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor and just excellent gameplay. Like, I really loved that game. That game was awesome. Mario 64. That was just an incredible experience. That was like one of the first games that I ever truly beat, like 100%. Like, I, you know, spent time getting 120 stars on that game.
Okay.
And Counter-Strike. A lot of people think, you know, because like the games I make are very, you know, very very different than type of games like Counter-Strike. But mm-hmm. Counter-Strike, I actually played it kind of semi-pro for a while. Okay. Basically, for 6 months, yeah, I was in a clan, and we would actually go to different LAN cafes. And we'd go join tournaments for money and stuff like that. So that was a lot of fun. So I really love FPSs and stuff. And Counter-Strike kind of started me off on that. And what I liked about Counter-Strike so much is because it was so different. Like, if you look at my ideas, They're very, you know, try to be very innovative and unique. And Counter-Strike at the time was a completely different. Like, everything was, you know, deathmatch, and they're respawning, you know, health packs and stuff like that, and just respawned. But Counter-Strike was like two teams, and you only have one life, and you buy weapons, and there's an objective, and all these things that like never existed before. And like, it was one of the first real time, like one of the first modern warfare style kind of games where, you know, it's like counter terrorist versus terrorist. All the other games like Doom and Quake and Duke Nukem and all those games at those times, even Half-Life, you know, they were set in fantasy settings, mostly sci-fi settings.
You're right.
So Counter-Strike was just completely innovative all around, which I just, and that's what I really love. Like, that's why I love, you know, Mario 64 is one of the first 3D platformers ever, and, you know, did an amazing job. And, you know, Metal Gear Solid was a completely new experience, like where all the games before Metal Gear Solid were more about, you know, running and gunning and just shooting people. Metal Gear Solid was like, no, let's start to do sneaking and do something completely unique. And I thought that was awesome. So that's why those kind of games influenced me, because they're so different. Marius, you want to tell people what games you love?
Well, being originally German, of course, PC games mainly. Quake, I guess, was a big influence, because it was the first game where I could mod the crap out of it. It was so open to being modded on all ends, and that got me really into actually making games a lot. So that was one of the big influences. And then
bit surprising. You both seem to be talking about shooters a lot.
Yeah, I'm realizing it right now as we speak. It's not quite right. I guess, yeah, Monkey Island, Grim Fandango, adventure games, just two.
It would explain all the corpses and the blood in Scribblenauts, though.
Exactly. No, a lot of people think that about us. They're like, why, you know, you guys only do kid stuff, or, you know, like more, you know, E-rated stuff, or I don't know what the German rating system is over there, but, you know, whatever the equivalent is over there. And, you know, we play all kind of games. I love Call of Duty. You know, I love Warcraft, and, you know, Warcraft 3 I played a lot, and Starcraft. And so it's like, I love hardcore games too, just as much as I love like innovative games. I think there's a market for all types of video games.
Yes.
So it's just our market, like what we specifically, our motto in our company has always been that with Visceo products, you can't buy them anywhere else, so you have to buy them from Visceo. So it's like, if you want an experience like Scribblenauts, you can't get that anywhere else. So you have to go to our game to play that. Whereas, like an FPS, you know, you have Halo, or, you know, Call of Duty, or Half-Life, you have all these different options. But with Scribblenauts, you don't. You have to play our game. So that's kind of how we've differentiated ourselves from the other people. Which is okay. I mean, you know, people want to make amazing FPSs, you know, they can do that too. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's the wrong way to go. It's just, that's not the way we go.
It makes me wonder if we are not up for some kind of surprise about your next game on a console.
Oh, yes. No, you'll never see us do something that's really general and not original. Like, everything we do is original. We don't do licensed titles. That's not to say that we won't do, you know, some huge license, like, I don't know, like Mario or something like that. But we would never do something basic. And if we did a Mario game or,
wow,
you know,
that
whatever.
Would be great.
That'd be awesome, yeah. But if that we did that, awesome. I mean, we would do our stuff, yeah, but we really just do original stuff. That's what we're about. And
if you look at our current games, I mean, the only thing that they have in common is that they're RDS games. Like, apart from that, they're all completely different lives, like a platform with drawing aspect. Lock's Quest is an asymmetric strategy game. The Scribblenauts is like completely unique, so every game is really original.
Yeah, we're a design-driven company. You know, a lot of companies are programming-driven, and there's nothing wrong with that. Again, you know, I'm not trying to badmouth companies. It's just that we're just different in that way, because a lot of companies are like, oh, we have an engine, and, you know, we're going to make a racing game, and then we're going to take that racing game and then make another racing game, and then, you know, make a sequel, and keep on iterating on that one racing engine that they've built. But like, that's kind of programming focus, whereas we're design focus, where we're like, if it's a cool idea, we'll build the tech around it. And, you know, that's, you know, I kind of come up with ideas, and then Marius implements them. So we've been very, you know, worked very well together.
Yeah, and I love that approach, because as I've just read in a local games magazine, GameStar, one of the biggest here, all the reviews basically had in common that the editors were very disappointed.
Yeah.
Concerning innovation, all those sequels were actually rated lower than the ones in the past. So we need those innovative games. When I first read about Scribblenauts, it just blew me away. And I keep on telling everybody I meet about it, and nobody is actually believing me, so to speak. Can you actually remember when and how you came up with this great idea?
I don't. You know, I just. A lot of people ask me, you know, where these ideas come from, and like, you know, where's Drawn to Life or Lux Quest or Scribblenauts and stuff like that. I definitely look at, you know, who the market leaders are and what's popular and what sells well, and kind of demographics first, and also what the platform can do. So, you know, the DS, because it has two screens, it has a touch screen, it has a mic, it has Wi-Fi, and I look at the system and say, oh, well, what's the best thing to work on? I still think the touch screen is kind of DS's biggest feature. So I was like, okay, what can we do with that? And I said, well, we did drawing already, and we did kind of Lego building blocks already. So what if we did something else? And so writing kind of came up, and that's kind of how Scribblenauts came up. And so it was more of a writing game at first, where you could write sentences and paragraphs on the bottom screen, and on the top screen they would kind of play out. So if you wrote, like, the red race car is driving through the forest, then that would kind of happen up on the top screen. But that wasn't a game. That was more of just like an interactive story almost. So and then I had a dream about where I was stuck in these rooms, and every room had a goal to get out of the room. So like, one was like, there's dirty dishes in the sink, and if you wash the dishes, then the door opens and then you get to go to the next room. And then you know, another one was like, there's paintings hanging on a wall, and one is crooked, so if you if you change the painting, then you'll be able to get to the next room. And I was like, this is a really, really cool idea, but the problem was is that you solve it once and then you're done. But so then Myers was like, well, we still have the writing idea. I really, really like that. What can you do with that? And so I kind of pushed them together and said, oh, what if you could write anything to solve puzzles? And then all of a sudden, Marius was like, yes, this is a great idea. I love it. And a lot of people at FISA were actually afraid of the idea because it's such a crazy idea. They're like, I don't think it's possible. I think it's impossible to do. And I was like, no, you know, we could do it. And Marius was like, no, I have a tech vision. And that's what's really good about Marius, is that he can come up with ideas that, you know, take my ideas and make a technical version of them, which, you know, is no small task. So, you know, Marius is very good at that. Which, you know, that's why we work really well together, because, you know, like, Marius, he's definitely, he's a very good programmer, but he likes to think outside the box. He's very creative as well. So, you know, he has a very artistic side to him, which I think helps him kind of visualize the ideas that I come up with.
Do you believe that the actual content of a game, like the story or the game ideas, are actually a little bit underrated? Because often you will only read about the graphics and the engine. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. I think to a small degree, I think it's also very interesting because your culture in Germany, you're very PC focused. That's the games that you guys like a lot. And so PC is extremely about graphics. Whereas, like, I think more in North America, it's not always about graphics so much as gameplay. And then when you look at Japan, it's even more about gameplay and less about graphics. Okay. So, but no, graphics is still a big thing. I mean, especially with the hardcore gamers, I mean, they love the graphics and stuff. With writing, I mean, writing's my thing. I love writing, and I think, I mean, if you look at Tim Schafer, you know, it's like he built his name on just being able to make good stories that are funny and interesting. Like, you know, his gameplay is really basic. You know, it's just point and click. I mean, you know, not making fun of anything, but I mean, it's a pretty basic style of game, point and click. And then, you know, the art was all 2D. It wasn't like, you know, amazing 3D and something new and revolutionary. But the reason why people loved his games is because the writing was just so great, you know, and the story was just so fun and interesting. You wanted to play more and play more. And the gameplay worked around the story. I think with concepts, like, I think designers in general, they need to kind of push themselves. I mean, just like screenwriters, how, you know, when back in the 60s with Alfred Hitchcock, how he basically pushed the director to be the big guy, and nobody in the screenwriting side actually kind of helped that out. So the screenwriters kind of got pushed back, whereas the directors became the big stars of the show. I mean, with the actual actors. And so I do think that game designers definitely need to promote themselves more. Like, if you look back in the 80s and 90s, like, nobody knew who Miyamoto was. Like, nobody. Because Nintendo never promoted him. Now, everybody knows, you know, at least in the gaming world, who Miyamoto is, because they started promoting, oh, this is the guy who created Mario. This is the guy who created Zelda. So it's definitely important for game designers and their work to get noticed. But I think with Scribblenauts, you know, it's like the reason why we won, you know, Best of Show Awards over, you know, I mean, on GameStop and IGN, which is, you know, probably the two largest sites in the world.
Yes.
You know, we beat Uncharted 2, which, you know, has amazing graphics, you know, for best game of show. And the reason why is, you know, our graphics are really silly and stupid, you know. So, and the reason why is because of the idea. Like, they just love the idea. So.
And rightly so.
Yes, yes. So, well, I mean, no, but I mean, Uncharted's still an awesome game too. I mean, it's just there's room for all kind of games. There's room for games that are very polished and, you know, cinematic, and there's room for ideas that are just crazy, you know, and different. So there's room for all that, I think. There's no need to have every game be innovative, and there's no need for every game to be a sequel, you know what I mean? Like, there should be both, because I definitely want to play sequels to some of my favorite video games, you know? I want to play that, but at the same time, I also want to play new experiences too.
I was wondering, is there some kind of epic dream project at the back of your head? Something you might be always working towards to one day realize once you have the necessary budget and the opportunity?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think every game designer has that. And I have that too. You'll be seeing it eventually. Not next year or anything, but we'll definitely. I'm always trying to. My ideas actually kind of change, because a lot of people, they have that one idea that they can't let go of, and I don't actually think that way. Like, my ideas are mostly, you know, I try to look ahead of the curve and say, okay, what are people doing now, and what can I do that's not being done right now? So, you know, if I have some cool idea that was 5 years ago, but I haven't been able to do it, you know, so far, then I see somebody's kind of done something similar, then I'll just be like, okay, forget that idea. You know, I'm gonna have to innovate again and kind of look at something unique down the road again. Because, you know, I don't want to follow other people's waves. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like, oh, everybody's doing an FPS, and then like, oh, I'm gonna do an FPS. You know, when the FPS, like when Doom came out and Quake came out, everybody's like, oh my God, that's the next thing. You know, and so I'll do it. Because the second you follow that wave, you're done, right? Like, you, if you're not creating that wave and you're trying to follow the wave, you're not gonna catch up with the wave. So.
Yeah, and they are always maybe 1 year ahead of us, because we don't know what they are developing right now,
right,
for 6 months already, or for 12 months already, maybe.
Right, exactly.
So
so I definitely have those ideas. I want to do them, but, you know, and you'll see them. You'll definitely see them. We're getting there. So I really, like, we really want to remain independent and keep on making amazing games and just build our company up, and then just to a point where, you know, when people talk about video games, you know, they talk about Valve or Nintendo or Blizzard and Ficel. Like, that's our goal. That's what people want. And that'll take a while, because just because, you know, Valve and Blizzard and Nintendo have one thing Ficel doesn't, which is insane amounts of money and time. We don't have that yet. But that's,
it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
Well, and I was imagining you riding down the street in your golden Rolls Royce with about 100 chicks on top. Damn it. Okay, do you want to switch to German now?
Can do. Yep.
I'll try, but I'm not very good.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah, you can speak very slowly, no problem. Or possibly Google every word. Okay, ja, Marius, wollen wir, oder?
Ja, können wir gerne machen. Kann sein, dass ich zwischendrin noch kurz rumgatze, weil ich mir zwischen den Sprachen wechseln musste, aber...
Ja, das ist schwierig, ich weiß. Ist auch für mich jetzt nicht einfach.
Ja.
Eine Frage, die ich gleich hätte für dich als Technologie Experte sozusagen. Was hältst du denn von Projekt Natal? Ein Gimmick oder eine Chance?
Ah, sehr gute Frage. Ich bin sehr gespannt drauf. Ich kann jetzt nichts dazu sagen, muss es selber ausprobieren erstmal, aber wird sehr interessant. Ich weiß nicht, ich möchte es einfach sehen. Ich bin auch ein bisschen skeptisch, weil es war mit der Wii, glaube ich, genauso. Leute dachten sich mir, ja, das ist, und es ist auch gut in bestimmten Bereichen. Zum Beispiel, ich meine, Wii Tennis ist natürlich perfekt dafür, aber das ist halt, es erschließt jetzt nicht sämtliche Spielarten mit der neuen Eingabemethode. Halt, bestimmte Sachen sind dafür sehr gut geangelt, andere wiederum nicht. Deswegen, ich bin sehr gespannt, wie Natal wird. Vielleicht wird es großartig, vielleicht wird es die neue Remote, ich weiß es nicht. Bin gespannt, sehr gespannt.
I actually understood that.
I know, you did. What was it about?
Natal, and you said that the Wii was kind of he was asking if it's a gimmick or not, and you're saying like you liked how Wii Sports with Wii Tennis was perfect for the Wii, and then Natal needs something like that.
There you go.
Yeah, I know German.
No, it's very simple. We are very simple-minded. We only have about 500 words or so. Ja, ein Münchner, der da jetzt irgendwie nach USA geht und in so einer geilen Firma mitmischt. Wie konnte das passieren?
Wie konnte das passieren? Ich wollte eigentlich, also solange ich zurückdenken kann, seit ich meine Hände an einem Computer gehabt habe, ging es mir immer mehr darum, hatte immer mehr Spaß daran, irgendwas zu kreieren, anstatt zu spielen. Ich hatte immer Spaß an Videospielen, aber hatte immer mehr Spaß daran gehabt, eigentlich irgendwas selber draus zu basteln. Habe also auch, ja, ich weiß gar nicht, wann ich angefangen habe, irgendwas, auch egal wie klein, zu tüfteln, aber es hat sich über die ganzen Jahre hingezogen. Und dann bin ich ins Programmieren eigentlich nur gerutscht, weil man irgendwann an eine Grenze gerät, wo man eben mit anderen Tools nicht weiterkommt. Wenn man selber seine Kreativität komplett freien Lauf lassen will, dann muss man eben einfach anfangen zu programmieren. So bin ich zum Programmieren gekommen, habe dann aber eigentlich in München Elektrotechnik studiert. Wollte aber das war währenddessen immer weiter mit Gedanken an die Videospielindustrie und habe währenddessen Maya kennengelernt und Joe, einen weiteren aus unserer Firma. Ja, und da hat TÜVSTAR gerade angefangen. Dann haben uns online kennengelernt, bin also so reingerutscht und dann habe ich vor ein paar Jahren mich dann entschieden, dass es halt von Deutschland aus nicht mehr so weitergeht, dass ich komplett herkommen muss und jetzt bin ich hier. Ja.
Klasse. Ja. Und vermisst du München? Es ist ja gerade Oktoberfest.
Ja, Gott, ich will schon
Gruß sagen.
Ja, meine Frau ist noch in Deutschland. In München, hey, auf der Wiesen. Der so eine Brezel.
Also dann muss ich dir nichts schicken.
Na, also ich meine, so eine Brezel.
ich würde schon so einen Maßkrug in so einen Briefumschlag tun.
Sage ich nicht nein zu. Ja, doch, ab und zu geht es mir schon ab, aber bin sehr glücklich hier. Kann mich nicht beschweren.
Wie lange bist du jetzt drüben?
Ich bin jetzt dauerhaft hier seit knapp 3 Jahren. 2,5 Jahre oder so, ja.
Und deine Frau immer noch hier?
Ja, wir besuchen uns regelmäßig. Ich komme rüber, sie kommt her. Wir sind aber schon ein Weilchen zusammen. Also die Sache ist relativ stabil, aber das ist auch nur auf mittelfristig angelegt. Sie kommt demnächst auch rüber.
Ja, das denke ich mir doch auch, das wäre besser.
Ja.
Ist jetzt nicht unbedingt genau auf dich zurechtgeschnitten, die Frage, aber es würde mich trotzdem sehr interessieren, was du dazu sagst. Und zwar, was hältst du denn von so story-intensiven Spielen wie jetzt zum Beispiel Remedies Alan Wake oder Quantic Dreams Heavy Rain?
Also es ist nicht so, dass Scribblenauts zum Beispiel, da haben wir keine Story eingebaut, weil es einfach fürs Spiel nicht gepasst hätte, ne? Aber wenn du unter anderem Spiele anschaust, zum Beispiel Drawn to Life, Next Chapter auf dem DS, für die Wii-Version war man nicht verantwortlich, weil die DS-Version kommt auch von uns und das erste Drawn to Life, da ist die Story ein großer Bestandteil eigentlich. Und Maya hat ja auch Hintergrund in Screenwriting. Von daher, also es kommt immer aufs Spiel an, ob die Story dafür Spiel passt oder nicht, aber allgemein können storybasierte Spiele sehr, sehr toll sein. Also ich kann denen viel abgewinnen, kann aber auch Spielen viel abgewinnen, die keine Story haben. Es kommt wirklich aufs Spiel an. Ja,
für mich seid ihr halt so ein bisschen so vorne, so Vorreiter, so was jetzt innovative Sachen angeht, weil wenn du so guckst, so querbeet, was machen die Leute für Spiele, da sticht halt sowas wie Scribblenauts extrem raus. Aber man auch bei den anderen, als bei Drawn to Life, da siehst du sofort, okay, da hat jemand eine geile Idee gehabt, die hat jetzt so noch keiner gehabt.
Ja.
Weißt du, was ich meine? Deswegen, ich frage mich dann immer, wie sehen jetzt solche Leute wiederum, die mutigen oder neuen Sachen, was die anderen Leute machen. Seid ihr da so ganz heiß drauf oder ist es euch das eigentlich wurscht und ihr spielt eher lieber was Simples? Ich weiß es halt nicht.
Ich glaube, wie Mara schon gesagt hat, es ist wirklich, jedes Spiel hat seinen Platz. Es gibt ja Nischen oder auch Bereiche für jede Form von Spiel. Leute haben auch verschiedene Vorlieben. Es ist halt nur leider in letzter Zeit so geworden, dass die Mehrzahl der Spiele, dass der Bereich für Innovation immer kleiner geworden ist, weil das Risiko einfach immer höher wird für die Entwickler. Weil einfach finanziell werden die Spiele einfach immer teurer und teurer und damit wird das Risiko zur Innovation einfach viel zu hoch. Und deswegen sind die innovativen Ideen ein bisschen in den Hintergrund geraten in letzter Zeit. Und ich glaube, das ist der Grund, warum Leute sagen, ja, die ganzen Sequels und Standardrezepte gefallen uns nicht mehr, wo sind die ganzen Innovationen? Aber wir haben trotzdem auch viel Spaß an wie Marc schon gesagt hat, also unsere Lieblingsspiele, da sehen wir auch immer gerne noch den Nachfolger dazu. Und es ist auch nicht so, dass man dann nicht nochmal im Kleinen verbessern kann oder was Neues erschaffen kann. Also es ist nicht so, dass wir alles verteufeln, was nicht mit Innovation zu tun hat. Wenn das Spiel highly polished ist, wie ich schon gesagt habe, einfach, wenn es wirklich perfekt ausgeführt ist, dann ist es auch immer was einem sehr gefällt. So ist es nicht. Aber ja, für uns, wir speziell sind, wollen immer was machen, was es so in der Form noch nicht gibt.
Ja, yeah, that's correct.
Glad you agree.
I agree.
I agree, I think.
Der Consumer hat ja am letzten Ende recht, ne? Also was der Consumer kauft, bestimmt ja, was gemacht wird irgendwo auf irgendeinem Level. Das kann zwar ein bisschen dauern, aber wenn der Standard-Shooter sich nicht mehr verkauft, dann wird den auch keiner mehr machen. Also Von daher sind wir auch Scrum-Nauts bisher sehr erfolgreich. Das macht uns natürlich auch sehr glücklich.
Ja, das ist sehr wichtig, dass solche Titel einfach auch Erfolg haben,
Ja,
weil
ja.
nichts hat sich mehr als irgendwie, ja, es war mutig und innovativ und genial, aber wollte leider keiner haben.
Ja. Ja, auf jeden Fall. Aber
Das ist
das ist auch,
furchtbar.
das ist was mich vorhin gelobt, kann ich ihn auch gleich zurückloben. Auch ganz Spezielles, es muss, die gute Idee allein ist es noch nicht. Es muss auch wirklich vermarktbar sein. Und wenn das, die beiden Sachen zusammenkommen, was Maya irgendwie jedes Mal perfekt hinkriegt, ich glaube, dann kriegt man auch Innovation, die erfolgreich ist. Weil die Innovation, die keiner kaufen will, hilft keinem, weder uns noch dem Konsumenten noch der Industrie allgemein. Es muss also auch in den Markt passen. Und wenn man das vereinbaren kann, dann glaube ich, ist es immer eine gute Sache.
Okay, jetzt haben wir gesprochen über euren Wechsel zu den Konsolen und wir haben auch gesprochen über Projekt Natal. Was natürlich sich fast schon aufdrängt, ist die Frage nach dem iPhone. Was haltet ihr von dem iPhone, da was, mal was zu entwickeln oder auch nicht?
What do you think about the iPhone?
It's okay.
It's a great device.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's okay.
For Scribblenauts, you're saying?
Not exactly, rather as a potential platform for you guys.
Maybe. I'm not. We're not like we did mobile for a long time, so we're kind of bored and sick of mobile.
Okay.
I wouldn't do anything original on iPhone, I don't think.
Okay, let's talk to you both again. We are almost at the end of my questions. As we have quite some game design students among our listeners, do you have a special hint, maybe? For the aspiring game designer out there.
I think the number one thing is well, there's two things really I would say. Is number one is don't give up, because you know it's like the barrier to entry in game design is very difficult. You know, it's like usually, I mean, I don't even know where I would be right now because I mean I started my own company, so I started at the top instantly. But I mean, you know, it's very difficult because usually game companies require 3 years and a couple, you know, minimum and a couple ship titles at least for a game design position, you know, even a normal one, not even a senior, but a normal. And usually junior positions that are, you know, like don't require any experience are very, very rare. So a lot of times people go into like QA or, you know, some kind of testing or even programming. They'll go into programming first and then move over to game design. So I would say that like if you really believe in yourself and you're like, yes, this is what I want to do with my life, and I know I'm good deep down, I know like I have the ability, because that's how I was, like, you know, it's like when we first started Fistel, like I'm like, look, I know, you know, I can come up with cool ideas and stuff like that, but just because, you know, we're not doing it right away, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, you know. So you just got to kind of believe in yourself even when people don't believe in you. And you know, and even if you fail, because you'll fail. I mean, my first company failed, so it's like, you know, you're definitely gonna fail along the way, but just keep on trying again and again, and you know, you'll definitely get there. You'll definitely get where you need to get. That's really the bottom line. There's nothing, because game design is very hard to teach game design. It's very hard to quantify game design and say, okay, you know, on this side, because you know, it's half science, half art, right? It's like the science part is, you know, looking at demographics and stuff like that, and the art part is, you know, okay, you see that, you know, Halo sells and stuff like that, but how are you going to make your own version that's completely different and still gets that market, and you know, how are you going to come up with a really cool idea that people like, you know? So it's like it's half art, like there's just nobody can teach that. It's just cool ideas are cool ideas, so you know, just believe in yourself and do it.
Okay, before you guys settled on the idea of Scribblenauts, how many game ideas did you dismiss? Just a rough number, maybe.
I would say, I mean, 10 to 20. Usually
Okay.
between for every game Fissell does, I would say 10 to 20 ideas I come up with that we don't do.
Do you prototype them
No,
or
no.
just?
Usually on paper only. Sometimes it's like a sentence on a paper, like, oh, this is a really interesting direction, and then I say, yeah, I don't really like it. And then other times it's, you know, 20 pages of, oh, this is really cool, and we actually get art for it and stuff, and then like, ah, we don't really like it. So.
You could sell them as
I
because your dismissed ideas should be about as good as the best ideas of the other guys.
Myers throwing ideas.
So Someday maybe that'd be a cool idea. I don't, you know, some of the ideas are still really cool, so I maybe want to do them sometime.
Okay, keep them.
That's a good idea, though.
Okay, thanks to both of you for talking to my little humble podcast. It was a big honor.
Well, thanks. It's really fun. It's really fun doing this. I had a lot of fun.
And as everybody is talking about Scribblenauts, I hope it will be the big success you deserve.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate that. You seem like a really cool guy, so
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Good night.
All right, bye.